We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
We are beginning, as I mentioned, a new series today, just a couple of weeks. We have two Sundays, and then the third Sunday we will be celebrating the most glorious night here. We'll be having a musical on Saturday evening first, and then two Sunday mornings, 9:30 and 11. So I have two Sundays to really kind of communicate and share with you what God has laid on my heart this Christmas season. And I want to talk about joy, the subject of joy, the true joy of Christmas. And what's been interesting is that over the past several weeks, we have been thinking and learning about what subject? Tell me, what was the subject? Heaven. And just so you know, several of you have come to me with some outstanding questions, some brilliant questions. Some of you have come to me and here's what you said, Pastor, that really cleared this up, but now I have another question. I said, wow, I never saw. Some of you have come to me in tears and said, boy, I'm so at ease, I'm at peace. Others have said, wow, I never saw that before. And so one of the things I was telling Pastor Micah that I'm contemplating doing is probably on a Sunday night, I'm probably going to do a thing called the common most questions asked about heaven, you know, because some of you are still struggling if your dog's going to be there, all right? And we got to move past that. Say amen, okay? So probably on a Sunday night at some point in the new year, I'll do something special like that. But as we've been talking about heaven and as Christmas is approaching, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready? How many of you are ready for Christmas? How many of you are not ready? How many of you just ready for the whole thing to be over? All right, now, as we get ready to for Christmas, we want to do something. We want to shift our focus as we contemplate the fact that Jesus left the splendor and the majesty of heaven for a manger. That he left the beauty and the glory to come to this earth as a baby and to be born in a grimy manger stall. I don't know how you are, but I like to be comfortable. You guys don't? Like, let's cut the air. We'll turn the lights off. How many of you like to be comfortable? Right. Some of you don't even want somebody sitting next to you. You're like, oh, man, a guest came and sat next to me. What's up with that? Right. I want a whole seat next to me. Okay. Just say, turn to your neighbor and say, you like your comfort. Go ahead. Tell them. Say, you like your comfort. And here's the thing. Some of you are like, I didn't even want to do that, Pastor. We all know the feeling of being somewhere, being comfortable, being in a place where we're like, wow, this is just great. Maybe on vacation, maybe some of you are going to get a little time off over Christmas. And you know how it feels, right? You've had this time off, you've had this breather, you've had this break. And then you're thinking to yourself, I got to go back to what? How many of you get that angst in your heart? You're like, oh man, what's waiting for me? How many of you are in here and you're like, I got to go back to school, right? And you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. We all know the feeling of being somewhere and just feeling like, I never want to leave this place. I'm so comfortable. I'm so at ease. This is a comparison to think about. And that little tiny illustration I just gave you pales in comparison to think about the fact that all Jesus left to come here to this place. I mean, can you imagine leaving everything we've learned about in heaven to this? And you're showing up to this place? I can remember traveling on my first missions trip into Romania. And the missionary that was with us told us, he said, now we're going to be staying in some rough hotels. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's fine. And I can remember the first hotel we pulled into, we pulled up, we got out. He goes, here's where we're staying, boys. I looked at my dad who was with me. I said, I think we should just stay in the car. I said, because I don't even want to go in there. And we went in and I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I turned the faucet on to brush my teeth and it did one of those pff, 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 and brown stuff came out that I don't think was water at this point. I walked over, I looked at the bed, and my dad looked at me and said, stay dressed. He said, stay dressed. I think about those things, and I think about the fact that Jesus left the splendor and the majesty and the glory and the beauty of heaven to go to a stall, church. To put himself in a human body, to constrain himself and to say, I'm going to come to this earth. And let me tell you something. When we don't want to do something, when I didn't want to sleep in that hotel, when you don't want to go back to work or you don't want to do that, let me tell you, Jesus never said, wow, I really don't want to do that. He never hesitated at his Father's will. We know why he came, right? He came because he had to deal with sin. And so when you think about Christmas, you can't really look at baby Jesus in the manger without seeing the Son of Man on the cross. Never look at that baby in the manger without seeing Jesus hanging on the cross. And so, friends, Christmas is about us celebrating God sending His Son to deal with sin. That's what Christmas is all about, church. We celebrate Christmas in order to rejoice over God's most precious gift to us, the birth of Jesus Christ, as well as a gift of God, that He came, and He came in simple wrapping, as well as a gift that, church, we don't deserve. But the gift of Christ explains His purpose for mankind. Listen to what Galatians 4 says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Look at the text. To do something. Let's all say it. To what? Redeem. Redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive. You understand? There's two words. Paul's so awesome. He alliterates great, doesn't he? Redeem and then what? Receive. You see the process. The adoption of sons. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Let's all say this together. Ready? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." It was sin that brought about the first Christmas. The real story of Christmas has nothing to do with Santa Claus. Nothing to do with reindeer, elves, trees, parties, presents, pageantries, get-together, gifts exchange. It's about the God of the universe sending His Son to rescue and redeem the souls of men, to reconcile us so that we could be in a relationship with Him and so that you and I could say, hey, we're the sons and daughters of God. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the fact that Jesus had to come and deal with sin. Now, most of us know the Christmas story. Anybody in here have no idea what Christmas is about? Raise your hand now. You're like, I don't even know what Christmas is about. We all have an understanding. Pastor Chad said it. We've been singing about it. We've been reading about it. Every year, there's a lot of anticipation. How many of you have a Christmas tree up? How many of you don't? Humbug, all right? And so, like a lot of things, we have the tendency to really forget, become over-familiar, and listen, worse still, we get callous to Christmas. Oh, I've heard these songs, we've sung them before. A baby in a manger, swaddling clothes, shepherds, angels, okay, you know. We get indifferent. We get angry. I gotta go buy them a gift. What am I gonna get? I don't know. You know what happens to a lot of people at Christmas time? Hey, listen, here's what happens. We lose the joy of Christmas. We lose the joy. It's over. It's supposed to be the joyous time of the year, and it's not the case for so many people. I want to ask you, have you lost the joy of Christmas, friend? Have you forgotten why Jesus came? And you know, here's the deal. If that is true in your life, and you have forgotten why Jesus came, you will have a bad Christmas. Because you're going to make Christmas something it was never intended to be. In fact, I want you to write this down. The joy of Christmas is lost when we fail to focus on the real reason Jesus came. It's lost. You will lose the joy of Christmas when you forget why you're celebrating and why we're here and why the decorations are up and why the lights are up and why we're doing what we're doing. You will lose the joy of Christmas when you fail to focus on the real reason why Jesus came. So I want to take us to what I call the most traditional text, the most well-read text, the most versed text for most believers. Go to Luke 2 if you're not there already. And I want to read to you what has commonly been called the real Christmas story. If you want to know the real Christmas story, it's right here in Luke 2. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, so let's read it. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be what? All right, two things are certain in life, taxes and death, okay? So you understand taxing's been going on for a long time, all right? And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was what? No room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we were singing about this morning. All right, if you want to know where these Christmas songs come from, it's right here, okay? They're writing songs about the text. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And tell me, what were they? They were afraid. And the angel said unto them, what's the first two words? Fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy, there's our word, which shall be to how many people? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All right, now he told them what to look for. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Boy, we were just singing that, weren't we? Pastor Chad was just singing that. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and I'm excited to preach this passage to you next week. I don't want to give it away, but we're going to kind of pull some stuff out of here next week. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made, what's the word? Known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we read this passage sometimes and it becomes over familiar to us. It becomes a passage that we flippantly go through. We touch it once a year, maybe. We sing about it, but it's not our reality. And we pray today that with freshness, we would look at this text again. That, Lord, we would submit ourselves to what is here, not only this Sunday, but next. And that, Lord, we today would glorify you in what you've done for us as your people. We rejoice today, Lord. We are to have the joy of Christmas in our life. And so, Lord, our intention today is that you would add your blessing to the reading of this passage and that you would be glorified now as your word is preached, for it's in Christ's name. And together we all said, amen. My heart's desire for us this Christmas season is to take some important truths away from this passage, to discover perhaps for the first time, or maybe today, just be reminded once again. And I hope you'll write this down because this is the whole theme. This is the whole message in a nutshell, that Jesus is the true joy of Christmas. Okay? And all of God's people said to that statement, amen. Jesus is the true joy of Christmas. Now, if we believe this and we embrace this, then it's not just going to change how we celebrate, but it's going to change how we live our life. Because you see, Jesus should not just be the joy of the season. He shouldn't just be the joy for one day. He should be the joy of our entire lives every day, church. He didn't come so that we could have joy one time out of the year. He came so that we could have joy for all of eternity. This is what he said in John. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might, what does he say? Remain in you. Let's all say this together. And that what? Your joy might what? Oh, let's all say it. Ready? That your joy might be what? Full. You should be, okay, ready? You should be full of joy today. Amen? Has your mom or dad, when you were misbehaving around Christmas time, said, oh, you're full of it and you're going to get it, right? Wouldn't it be awesome if some of our parents were like, my kids are so full of joy. My husband's so full of joy. My wife is so full of joy. Wouldn't it just be great if when people came to Faith Baptist Church, they said, those people are so full of joy, man. They're just stuffed with joy. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want you to ooze out joy in your life, not because of your circumstances or your situation, but because I am remaining in you. Amen? Now, before we can think about this, before we can really get to the text, which is why I'm just going to do one point this morning, and don't think you're getting out early, all right? But I'm only doing one point today because I want to kind of introduce if I may, what we've been talking about. And then I want to just talk about this one thing this morning because it sets up everything else of where we're going next Sunday. And that's just simply this one thought today, that the joy of Christmas is God fulfilling His promise. The joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas is God fulfilling His promise. This first Christmas was nothing like it is today. And in many cases, even the way it's shown in the cute little manger scene is not really how it was. Now, I don't want to ruin your Christmas. Just turn to your neighbor and say, he doesn't want to ruin our Christmas, okay? Most of you have very unbiblical manger scenes. I have one in my house. And as we were setting it up this year, I said, God, forgive us. Read your Bible and you will find that the wise men were not at the manger, okay? Just understand that. So in our house, I try to move the wise men way back. They're not there, okay? So they need to be scooching back a little, okay? There was no music and singing and a little drummer boy, okay? And the ox and lamb were not keeping time to the music, okay? That's not happening. There were no nice gold halos above everybody's head. Ooh, that did not happen. Did not happen. Some of you are like, I hate this church. I'm leaving. It's just, listen, don't shoot the messenger. Say amen. Amen. Hey, we got to understand the text. And we want Christmas. Hey, listen, we want Christmas sometimes to be what we want it to be. We want the picture the way we want it. We want it to make us feel a certain way. And the reality is that's just not the case. Here's what we do know. All right, let's go with what we know. What we know is there was some signs and there was some promises about the birth of Christ. Everybody turn to your neighbor right now and say, God made a promise. God made a promise. Say it loud. God made a promise. And let me tell you something. God always delivers on His promise. Amen? Amen. Despite how dark, how gloomy, how desperate, how awful, how bad things get, don't you ever think that God has not come through on His promise, because my dear friends, He has. God made a promise. You're like, okay, where's that at? All right, great question. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Here's another one. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And we shall call his name. Let's all say it together. Amen. All right. Same book, same prophet, two chapters down, six verses in. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Say it loud. Say it with me. Here we go. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen what the prophet goes on to say here. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be what? No end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. Notice the text. This is what we would call in biblical interpretation. I don't want to lose you, but this is what we would call the sealing of it up. This is the sealing of this statement. Notice, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? Perform this. Church, I want us to understand this morning that before Jesus could take the government upon his shoulder, he had to take the cross on his shoulder. Before he could wear the crown of glory as King of Kings, he had to wear the shameful crown of thorns and give his life a ransom. The first time he came, a star would mark his arrival. But the next time he comes, the heavens will roll back like a scroll and all of the stars are going to fall from the sky and Jesus himself is going to light it up. And there's a promise that was made. But when you read the Bible, you have to understand that this prophecy was told by Isaiah, was directed to the tribes of Israel living in the region of Galilee. And at the time of the writing, Israel was living in gloom and anguish and darkness. No hope and no joy. They were suffering the effects of God's judgment for their long-standing stubbornness, immorality, idolatry, and injustices. They were living out, if I could put it this way, the consequences of their choices. The nation of Israel was living with the reality that they had been exiled by the Assyrian army, and this meant that they were outside of their homeland, disorientated and demoralized. They were in a desperate situation, dominated by perhaps some of the cruelest people ever in the history of mankind. Let me just say something, church. There was an icy silence from heaven for 400 years. We just closed the study on the book of Malachi Sunday night. It was God's final word for 400 years. Things were bad. Rome was ruling, and some of the wickedest men ever in the history of mankind were in charge. Herod, in your Bible, you know him. Herod, he was perhaps, arguably, one of the worst, if not the worst rulers of all time. One commentator described him, and I will quote, as a ruthless monster. It is documented that he slaughtered between 6,000 to 8,000 of his best people, some of which included his wife, three sons, and his mother-in-law, not to mention the unspeakable act of killing the young children and babies under 2 years of age. And prior to his death, just so you know, okay, just so you understand, this guy, this wicked ruler, this monster that's on the throne when Jesus comes into the manger scene, before he died, he ordered the killing of one family member to be murdered so that there would be grieving when he died, because he knew no one would shed a tear at his death. This is the guy on the throne when Jesus comes. This is the guy that the wise men went to, and he's like, hey, tell me where the King of the Jews is. I'd like to worship him. Yeah, I'll bet you would. I'll bet you would. Friends, it is against this dark backdrop that comes the good news. The most wicked, awful time in history. The blackest of night. The cruelest of day. No hope. No joy. For unto you a son shall be given. A different light would appear. A different joy. God did something very different. When you study your Bible, you will find that time and time again, God would come, he would speak, he would love, he would give grace, and then God would do this. Listen carefully. He would act in wrath. But God did very something different at Christmas. God reached out to man to reconcile. You see, to reconcile means to bring back to a full state of harmony. To me, I want to tell you what the best definition of Christmas is. If somebody said, Pastor Todd, would you define Christmas for me? I would give them this statement, and that is this: Christmas is God moving toward man. Christmas is God moving toward man. And instead of retaliating, which, by the way, that destroys relationships, God moved to reconcile with man. Notice in the text he says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. God made a move toward man. And Jesus, in his humanity and his deity, came to earth to once and for all fix the sin problem. You see, God made a decision, friends, from the very beginning, that Christ would come to this earth to live and die and rise again from the dead, to be God's gift to us. Listen, to prove something, that his ultimate purpose was to redeem the souls of men. The gift of Jesus is what Christmas is all about. You see, Jesus came near to us so we could come near to him. Jesus came near to us. God moved toward man because he said, you know what? I want to reach you. I'm going to reconcile you. I want to redeem you. And on that first Christmas night, God was fulfilling his promise. He made a promise, and he fulfilled it. And on that first Christmas night, God is saying, I'm making it possible for us to experience eternal, life-changing joy. You see, friends, joy is never found in human presence, but in the heavenly gift of God's Son, Jesus. I know that at Christmas time, a lot of us go through an array of emotions. We feel sometimes the difficulty that Christmas brings, sometimes the distressing feelings, the sadness, and a lot of times what comes with Christmas is not pleasure, but pressure. Pressure. The pressure to get the perfect gift. The pressure to outdo what you did last year, to outcook last year's meal, to outfund last year's event. Let me tell you something, friends. When you have the heavenly gift of God's Son in your life, that pressure that you often feel is removed. And here's why. Too many people are trying to produce joy. They're trying to manufacture it. They're trying to run to the store and put their credit card down and say, okay, now I'm going to get this gift and this is what's going to bring me joy. Or I'm going to make up for all of my meanness and rottenness last year. And some of you in here, you got about 300 Christmases to make that right, okay? So one Christmas isn't going to do it, all right? Here's what I want to encourage you to do this year. Make a gift exchange with Jesus. Swap your pressure for the presence of Christ. Swap the pressure of Christmas and say, you know what, I'm not doing it this year. I'm going to put down the pressure, I'm going to put down the expectation, and I want to embrace the true joy and meaning of Christmas. Allow Jesus to fill your heart with everlasting joy. That's why he came. Amen, church? That's why he came. We are reminded as believers every Christmas season that true joy is not found in presents, but in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not where you're going to find joy this season. Now, some of you are sitting here and you're probably thinking, Pastor, are you saying I don't have to go out and get presents? No. You can remember me in your gift getting if you feel so inclined. That's not the point. The point is this, that God faithfully fulfilled his promise. Do you guys get that this morning? But on that night, it wasn't about all the stuff that we see. It's about a baby who is God's son, who came to pay the sin debt, and it was God saying, promise fulfilled. Promise fulfilled. And he faithfully fulfilled that promise. And let me tell you, if you want joy, if you want true joy, just know it's not something you purchase. It's a person you accept. You can claim that promise this year. If you haven't done so already, you can experience true joy. Now, in the text, I want us to just let our eyes drop onto verse 10, because I want us to see something about joy, the announcement, the shepherds, the angels. There's so much here. But when we understand that this promise was fulfilled, and as we kind of let our eyes fall to verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. Now, most of us, let me help you if I can, okay? Most of us, when we think of an angel, we think of this effeminate, sissy-looking kind of person with these little wings and Goldilocks. Let me help you. That is not how angels looked, okay? You read how they're described in the Bible, okay? There's a presence about them. One of the angels wrestled with Satan. Did you know that? And let me tell you something. He wasn't some little fairy mamby-pamby guy, all right? He was this masculine angel that came in and was like, let's go, all right? I've been sent here on a mission. And so when the angels showed up, you can understand that these shepherds who probably have seen it all, the first thing they're thinking is, oh my. That's in the Greek. You can't see that. But and the angel said unto them, notice the first thing he addresses is what? Their fear. Don't fear. Why? Why should I not fear? Because I'm really scared right now. Behold, I bring you what? Good tidings. What's the next two words? Of great joy. And who's going to hear all of this? How many people? All people. It wasn't a select few. It wasn't like, okay, just the Baptists are going to have joy. Some of the Baptists really have missed it, let me tell you, okay? And so, and some of the Pentecostals, and they ran right past their joy, right? Okay? And so, it's to all people, okay? Not just a select few. All people shall be joy. Great joy. This means you. And this means me. And next week we're going to talk about the shepherds a little bit. But for now, I want you to notice what they did. They hear this message. The Bible says with haste, they take off. Okay, and so at our manger scene at home, I want to put some Nikes on the shepherds. Because, you know, they were taken off to get there. All right, so they get there. They're in this, you know, euphoric state. They roll in to the manger scene, if you will. And what do they see? Exactly what they were told. Now, the intriguing thing is, after they saw the baby, it says that they see Mary and Joseph and the babe. Look at verse 17. When they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, let me just help us understand something today. You and I have never physically seen Jesus. We've never seen baby Jesus. We've never seen Jesus. But those of us who know him through salvation have experienced him. And here's the key. When you experience Jesus, your life is never the same. You change. We're going to see it next week when the wise men came. The Bible says they left a different way. There's two meanings there. Don't miss that. The shepherds came, they saw the babe, and they're like, man, we have got to do what? Tell everybody. Get the word out. You know what 1 Peter says? Whom having not seen, you what? You love. Hey, you love Jesus today. You haven't seen him, but you love him. And then he says, though now you see him, what? Not yet believing. Okay, friends, now here's application straight to your heart and mind. You do something because you believe and because you love. What does that mean? You what? Rejoice. And it's not just any kind of rejoicing. It's what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's joy unspeakable. Now, I want to ask us a question. And don't answer out loud. You'll incriminate yourself. I just want to ask you to search your heart this morning and say this to myself and yourself. Does this verse line up with how I live? Do people see me excited about Jesus? I mean, most people are pretty miserable at Christmas. Did you know that? Including a lot of Christians. We had dinner with a family the other night, and we went walking through a mall afterwards and just spending some time together, just kind of having fun and goofing off. And we were walking around, and this couple was walking toward us. And I'm telling you, her face was so long it was on the ground. And in her hands were all of these shopping bags. And I thought, aren't you supposed to have joy? And as she's walking, carrying these shopping bags with this long face, I'm hearing the music, I'll have a blue Christmas. And I'm thinking, I'll bet you will. I'll bet you will. And then I thought this, I bet you don't know Jesus. But you know, I've seen Christians come to church with a big Bible under their arm, and they have a pretty blue look on their face too. You see, the reality is this, friends. We play music, we give gifts, we try to muster up some joy. But those of us who have truly laid claim to the promise, and the promise that has been fulfilled, our life should not be one of misery, but joy. You'll hear me say this until I go to the grave. Some of you will say, Pastor, you say it all the time. We'll get used to it, because I'm going to say it until I go to the grave. Christians ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the planet. We've got to be the happiest, most joyful people on the face of the planet. It's not about experiencing. You know that song? It's the most wonderful. Some of you are like, I don't know that. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know what Jesus is saying? I don't want you to have a wonderful time of the year. I want you to have a joyful life all year long. That's just this one segment of your life. You know what Christmas is? Christmas is an opportunity for us to elevate the celebration. Amen? I mean, we should be joyful all the time, but when Christmas time comes, let's notch it up a little. Let's kick it into gear. Remember, the Bible says, Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, we have no need to live in fear and misery. It's the first thing the angel said, fear not, I bring you joy, good tidings, great joy. One of the pastors and commentators and authors that I deeply enjoy reading after, a man by the name of Ray Stedman, he said this, and I quote, the chief mark of the Christian ought to be the absence of fear and the presence of joy. That would be the absence of fear, not the fear of God, that's not what he's referring to, living in fear, and it ought to be the joy that we have because of Jesus. Friends, aren't you glad to know that we have a Redeemer and that there was one who loved us and took our sin to the cross? And the amazing truth of Christmas is that in spite of our sins, God sent His Son to save us. That's why He came. And that's why we celebrate. And that's why we even have a day called Christmas. By the way, don't be offended by this. Stop X-ing Jesus out of Christmas, okay? Leave that name Christ there. He belongs at the front and at the center of everything we do. And some of you are like, well, did you know in Greek that the letter X, just stop it. Nobody reads Greek, okay? Don't get all technical. Leave Christ in the center of Christmas, amen? That's why we have Christmas. It's all about Jesus. And so as we reflect on the promise and the joy that should be in our lives as a result of receiving that, let's be reminded again that Christmas, the true joy of Christmas, is Jesus. But you know, I fear that something happens at Christmas time to all of us. And I'm going to be honest with you, it has happened to me. We forget Jesus. We get caught up in the lights and the presents and the fun and the food. Christmas sometimes can bring its own unique tension, can bring frustration, can bring sadness. It can bring a lot of things that it was never intended to bring. And pretty soon, in the hustle and the bustle, in the gift giving and getting, and in the partying and the planning and the fun and the fellowship, and we're almost like those people in the Bible. We've made no room for Jesus. And so I want to leave this statement with you this morning. This Christmas, don't let God's only begotten Son become God's forgotten Son. Don't let that happen. Keep Christ in the center of Christmas. Amen, church.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.